I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never let you forget who I am, because I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. Because I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Mompreneur Model Show. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio. I'm Dori DiCarlo, and we're here on the Mompreneur Model Show just breaking those myths that mompreneurs dabble in business in between, you know, big sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, savvy women that are, you know, finding that balance between building a business and raising a family. And when I say balance, I don't really mean equality, because it's not an equal thing when you're trying to do both, but it's just finding the ways to shift what you're doing and not fall down. It's really what it's all about. And I'm so excited today to have Kemi Ingram back here on Word of Mom Radio. She is someone that I met so early on in the Word of Mom journey. And I just so love what she has been doing since the first time she was on the show, the second time she was here, when she came back for our anniversary celebration last month. And as we were talking, I was like, Kemi, I just have to have you back on the show for a full show. So I want to give you a little bit of background on her before we bring her in. Kemi is the president of Kemi Ingram, LLC, and is in charge of providing social media support services to humanitarian agencies, faith-based organizations, and responsibly produced consumer products. Creator of the Moms and Brands Twitter parties, Kemi works to connect moms to brands and causes they can believe in. As a new media producer since 2006, Kemi Ingram has become a leading voice in the social media space, representing a broad audience of mindful parents and socially responsible consumers. From 2006 to 2008, Kemi produced and hosted The Radio Mom Show, a widely syndicated podcast. In the fall of 2008, she created Mombo TV, a video blog aimed at connecting mothers to important issues, causes, and responsible brands. Over the last 4 years, Kemi has built a solid reputation in the social media space with campaigns and supportive services that have generated millions of impressions for her clients. She's an author, an activist, and an armchair theologian. She holds a BS in public policy, management, and planning from the University of Southern California, and an MA in theology from Fuller Seminary, and an MTH in applied theology from Oxford University in England. She's a frequent speaker and workshop presenter in the areas of social media, emerging technology, and social entrepreneurship. Her advocacy work on behalf of women and children around the world has resulted in meaningful relationships with U.S. policymakers and global thought leaders. She's a mother of three, and she's a committed social entrepreneur, and her entrepreneurial work is featured in several leading women's magazines in the U.S. as well as abroad. And I'm sure it's got to be like, wow, I can't believe I did all that stuff, really? You know, when you hear it, but, you know, it's true, you did. So, Kemi, welcome back to Word of Mom Radio.
Gosh, Dori, wow, thank you so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thanks. So, you know, catch us up. Since the last time, I mean, you were here for our anniversary show really quickly, but, you know, give us the long version. The last time we did a full show, you were nursing your youngest. How old
yeah.
was he?
He's 3 and a half.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, that was the first time you were on the show. Wow. 3 and a half. Isn't it amazing
yeah.
how fast it goes?
Yep. He was a newborn then.
I know. And,
yeah.
you know, we love kid cameos on Word of Mom Radio. So I always laugh when moms are like, oh, well, you know, I'll, if the baby wakes up, I'm like, please don't ever worry about that. It is Word of Mom Radio for a reason.
Right.
You know?
Yes. So we had a little munchkin appearance on that show, and it was fun.
So catch us. 3 and a half years have gone by. And I know the Moms and Brands Twitter parties, I mean, I guess we may as well start at the top and then we'll just work our way all around. But your Moms and Brands Twitter parties, tell everybody how, like, the whole origin of that, because you were really on the forefront of so much in social media, in what you have done and in creating that online presence and really branding yourself that online expert.
Well, you know, Dori, it's really funny. I saw something, I think, on one of your social media pages this morning, and it referred to always remembering why you started, or remember why you started.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I was on Word of Mom, I talked a little bit about going back to our roots, and sort of your show required me to really think about that and what I was doing when I started and why and how this sort of all evolved. I'll give you the long, short version. I was living abroad in the UK at the time that my first daughter was born, and just the process of I was studying and doing work in community development, really with a vulnerable population. I was working on a project for a national organization in the UK that worked with women who had been trafficked and also women who were in street-based prostitution. And this is a population that I'd never had any sort of involvement with. But it was I was invited to do the project to bring together best practices for working with these women in England, Scotland, and Wales. And so I was pregnant at the time, and I was traveling around to all of these different projects. And along the way, I would meet women who were just days off of being on the streets, women who were just really in a rough, rough position. And they would come up and they would actually touch my stomach and they'd say, "Oh, you're pregnant. I've got a baby. My baby's over in the creche, over in the nursery." And it was just sort of this moment when I thought, wow, these are moms and there are children. Mm-hmm. And I'm pregnant, and these children have been born into a situation that is very, very different from my own. And, you know, I was also writing up beginning my dissertation, and it was sort of a lofty subject, you know, a theology. But meeting the women one-on-one, face-to-face, sort of brought it all down. And I thought, how can I participate in ensuring that children who are being born into a situation that's very different from mine have all of the resources that they need and access to all of the things that I want and desire for my own children to have? And so I started getting involved with different social enterprises, and most of these were women's cooperatives that produced products to provide a revenue stream for community development, education, clean water, housing, play structures in war-torn areas, all of those sorts of things. And sort of, you know, it just kind of evolved from there, and I would find different products, and I would and weave it into posting pictures about my motherhood journey and talking a little bit about those products, and people became interested in sort of the things that I was buying, whether that was a baby carrier or, you know, food options or, you know, those sorts of things. And it just sort of went from there. And moving into the Radio Mom was just using a different medium. I started podcasting, and I was the new mom. I was not an expert at all by any means. I was a brand new mom, a first-time mom. And I would just invite different experts to talk about the ways that a new mom like me could make an impact with just the little time that I had, because I was busy, but I wanted to do something. And so we sort of started compiling these different sort of bite-sized engagement opportunities for mothers to meet their local policy representatives, to participate in action through online petitions, to use their purchasing power to make an impact. And it was really the purchasing power that kind of stuck with us, I think, for the long haul. And so featuring products that had a positive environmental impact, or that were made by family-owned businesses that sort of thing is something that we've continued on. But we've sort of branched out and done more things. But being on your show the last time sort of reminded me of all of those early initiatives that we were involved in. And so I think in Moms and Brands this year, we're going to be doing a lot of that, returning to those early roots in cause marketing.
You know, it's interesting. Last night I did the 30-Second Mom tweet chat. I was their guest. And one of the questions was the differences between, you know, men and women in business. And my feeling, women in business, women start with why. Mompreneurs start with why. We see a need and we wonder why it's not being filled. Whereas men, I think, you know, they're raised to, you know, they have to be the head of the household and the success, and it's, you know, they go into business for themselves to become successful. Whereas, and it's not saying that women don't look for success, but we are, the impetus is usually so different. I mean, I, you know, in thinking about it, and I look at, you know, my bag company, I look at Safety First Bags. I mean, that began as a Christian mission out of my church. When our pastor had a call for discipleship, and he had read the gospel about Jesus called the disciples, and said, you know, if you really had a call to make a difference in the lives of people you would never even meet, could you risk everything, your home, your livelihood, all of it? And it was right after Columbine. And I went home, and as a mom, I started designing these clear bags and backpacks to try to keep guns and drugs out of schools. Because as a mom, no child is expendable.
Right.
I mean, as a human being, no child, but especially as a mom, because I feel that pain for every single mom who has ever kissed their child goodbye and has not come home from school.
Right.
Because of
right.
something like that. And I've shared it before, and I'll share it again. Don't ever do this. Let me preface this sentence with do not do what I did. I took a chance that I'd save for a house. And I started my company. You know, so yeah, don't do that. You know, because your kids are worth millions to you, but they're worth nothing to the bank. You know, if hindsight were 20/20, I'd have bought the house and I'd have had collateral. But, you know, I was a mom just starting with why. You know, it's what it boils down to. And even in that, you know, I look at what you do with, you know, responsible consumer-based products and things like that. I mean, you know, let's face it, I'm using a PVC vinyl. It's not a, you know, responsible product in the sense of the way it's produced, so I wanted to make sure it was produced the right way. And I had to go overseas because that China was the only country that had the machinery that could make the use the materials I wanted. But I made sure I found a factory that conformed with the environmental protection laws, the child labor laws, and the Fair Wage Federation. So I could go to a different factory in China, probably get my bags at this point, $3 or $4 a bag cheaper. And you know what? Because I don't want a 7-year-old selling our products. And I want to know that the people that are working for that factory get paid in dollars, not rice. You know, right. And so I had to do my own responsible, my due diligence. And so that's why I so respect what you do with Moms and Brands and searching out those responsibly produced products, you know, that are looking at all of these things and taking these things into consideration, you know, when they go into production. How do you source out people, or do they come to you at this point?
Well, we source out people. We attend a number of trade shows, things like UBC Kids Expo, as well as Expo East and Expo West. That's sort of where we have a lot of relationships with manufacturers and various brands. We also branched out over the years to include a number of products that are just, I mean, they're simply products that make mom's lives a little easier. Mm-hmm. Those little convenient products, and those things are not necessarily produced by social enterprises. But what we'd like to do this year is really, really feature a lot of the enterprises that have been birthed since we started and that have sort of not been on our radar. There are a couple of organizations that we've started to work with now, products that we actually love, and it's the model of producing these products and selling them, whether online or at a brick-and-mortar store, and taking those funds and reinvesting them back into the community. An example of that would be something like Connected and Hope Foundation, which is really a great, great organization in Ethiopia. And I was just looking at a picture from a new preschool that they started for the children there. These are wood fuel carrier women who used to just do backbreaking work and carrying this like heavy, heavy wood. And now they're making beautiful handwoven scarves, and purchasing these scarves helps to fund the preschool and all the community development initiatives. And while we, you know, love all of the brands that we've worked with, there's something special about the social enterprises, because that's really going back to the heart of why I got started. And so I look forward to featuring more of those brands this year.
Have you ever heard of Jamtown? Jamtown?
No.
I have to introduce you to John Hayden. He just popped into my head. Why I've never thought of connecting the two of you, I have no idea. Jamtown, John is a musician, and Jamtown is all rhythmic instruments, because rhythm, you can't screw up rhythm. You know, you're not playing notes on a flute. And he goes around to schools all over and teaches, but all of his stuff is made, it's indicative to wherever, like if it's from Peru, it's made by a family in Peru or a village in Peru. It's awesome. Every single thing, every piece that he has a story behind where the Ocho Rio is done and things like that. And, you know, support villages in these very third world nations where he is with the Fair Wage Federation and things like that. So he buys things at the Fair Wage. I mean, yeah, got to introduce you to him. And he's just the coolest guy. He and his wife, Jane, I think they only have one child at this point, but, you know, I haven't talked to him in a year or two. Could be more. But, yeah, have to look you guys up. I met him at the Javits Center. I was director of marketing for a graphics company and was walking the show, and so was he. And, I mean, now he has, like, you know, the monster booth at the Javits Center and stuff like that with Jamtown, and it's remarkable where, you know, to watch. I love sitting in my seat and getting to watch the women that I've shared, or, you know, in John's case, the guys that I meet that had a dream, started something, and watching it evolve. It's very rewarding, you know. And,
it really,
so,
yeah. It definitely is.
Did you hear me? I was wondering when the upcoming Moms and Brands events that you have happening.
Well, we just wrapped up our Earth Day Twitter party, which was fun and exciting, and it was a great, great party. And coming up in May, we actually have our Mother's Day event, which is happening May 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern, and we're doing something a little bit different this year. You know, the last few years we haven't had a Mother's Day event just because it seems like we celebrate Mother's Day every day, so we didn't do anything specifically for Mother's Day, but we changed that this year. It's one of the changes. And so we're actually going to have a Mother's Day event that includes both an online and an offline component. We're going to be hosting the Twitter party online, and we partnered with some wonderfully generous brands. So we'll be giving away lots and lots of prizes for the online event. And for the offline work, we're going to be doing some local distribution of products to mothers in need, which is just something I'm really excited about. So we had brands come together, and we're going to put together some prize packs and just deliver those to moms who could use an extra special Mother's Day. So that's coming up on May 10th. We also have our summer kickoff that's happening at the end of the month, and we're going to be doing that over a few days. We've got brands like Lisanati Foods and Santa Cruz Organic, and we have a whole night dedicated to a new client, Diamond Resort International. So if you're looking for a good summer vacation or a good getaway this summer, you'll want to come to the summer kickoff Twitter party. So that's what's coming up in May.
Wow, I'm like writing these down. I love what you're doing for Mother's Day. I really do. I love what you're doing for Mother's Day and making that an extra special day. You know, feel my heartstrings like tug, tug, because last year I was actually in Florida helping out friends and I wasn't home for Mother's Day.
Aww.
And all three of my kids, I mean, and they're grown. It was more hurtful, I think, for me than them. But they were like, well, we don't need a special day to celebrate. It's always Mother's Day to us. You know, and I'm like, on. And when I got back, all three of them at different points took me out for a Mother's Day, you know, celebration. That I did a little finger quote. But, yeah, I think that's wonderful. Because very often people forget that the things that moms sacrifice for their children. And we'll go with that. I can remember, you know, being a single mom. I was a single mom of three kids since they were 6, 4, and 2. And I'd be in a grocery store buying groceries, and then I'd think about what I had in my wallet, and all the stuff I wanted was the first stuff back on the shelf.
Hmm.
You know, if I couldn't afford to get it that week. And I was like, no, you know, don't need this, don't need that, don't need this, don't need that. That was the nicest thing when I finally went dad, I could open my refrigerator and everything in it was like, yeah, that's what I want. And when I woke up the next morning, it was still there, even better. See those things that happen as you transition as a mom? So I have to ask you, when you came to visit, during our Word of Mom March anniversary celebration, you mentioned that you're doing a lot more with social enterprises, and we've been talking a little bit about it and things like that. When you really look at the ones that you have already been working with, what really stands out for you?
What really stands out is just how much moms can make a difference. I mean, moms and dads. I mean, just to be all-encompassing, but really, moms can make a difference just by using their purchasing power. I'm just amazed at how buying products and shifting spending to those brands or social enterprises that make an impact on the community can actually change a person's life. I just find that amazing. It's not that everyone has the time or even the inclination to sort of pack up and go do something, you know, to go work on an issue or to go work in a community. But even just being able to purchase something and support one of those organizations that is doing the groundwork is important. And it just, I'm amazed. I'm still amazed 8 years later about all of the lives that have been impacted by the various enterprises and organizations that sell products.
I have to agree with you, and it is amazing that women are really, really realizing, and so are advertisers. I just keep thinking back to the Olympics and how many commercials were there saying, thank you, Mom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Advertisers are starting to realize, hey, wait a second. You know, we're gearing things for, you know, kids, we're gearing things for this, but ultimately moms are the ones that have the highest buying power out there.
Yes.
And we do look at the why. You know, let's face it. Even when you buy anything, especially now, I mean, let's say, you know, think about toothpaste. You could, but when I was growing up, there was one toothpaste on the shelf, maybe two. Now you go to the store and, you know, there's 8 feet of top-to-bottom shelves with all the different toothpastes you can buy. And so why even something as simply as that? You know, and how many moms that I see, especially with little kids, that are buying responsible product that way. Looking at the fact that, ooh, maybe fluoride isn't something my kids should be swallowing. Because 9 months old, when I'm brushing their teeth, quote unquote, you know, with that little washcloth, they're basically sucking that toothpaste off the washcloth. So perhaps I should be putting something in their mouth that's going to protect their teeth, but not, you know, they're not going to ingest it. And, you know, things like that. And for me, I was an organic mom. I mean, you know, I 18 months old, I read an article in my kids when I was pregnant with my first son about a woman with 5 kids who used housework as a reward. Oh, you were so good, mom was going to let you help them fold their laundry. So, I mean, 18 months, my kids had their own spray bottles. They were all organic because I didn't want to worry if they decided to make a cocktail, then anything would happen. So moms think about these things, and I think now, especially now, with everything going on environmentally, moms are really aware of it. So you just wrapped up Earth Day. What was the biggest thing you took away from that? Oops, are you there? Kenny?
Hello. Hey. Yep, now I can see you. Hey there, Dory.
Yeah, you're back. I was just wondering what you took away from Earth Day with regards to how moms are now shifting their dollars responsibly for more organic, especially cleaning and household products and things like that.
Well, it was interesting because we put out a couple of questions on Twitter during the Earth Day event, and we had moms talk about the little ways, the things that they've done just to sort of eco up their families. And so we had a lot of moms chatting about little things like changing, well, maybe not little, but, you know, little things in terms of not really requiring a lot of time, like changing up their light bulbs or planting a garden or recycling or things like that. But we also talked about some of the challenges to being green. It ain't easy being green. And they put fessed up and talked about their eco sins. You know, sometimes it's a challenge to, you know, you have a baby who falls asleep in a car while you're driving and you don't necessarily want to turn off the air conditioning and you sit there with the car idling and that's something that kind of just happens. So Earth Day was interesting. You know, or some moms who are like, I finally get to take a long shower because I haven't had one in 4 days or something like that, you know. So, you know, they talked about it's real life, but, you know, they're trying and moms are trying to do what they can. Sometimes it can get overwhelming and, you know, everything is not eco, not everything is responsible, but, you know, what we took away was that people are interested and they're trying slowly to incorporate more and more things. Not to be overwhelmed, but just, you know, making small changes incrementally, you know, one step at a time and stepping towards a more sustainable lifestyle.
Awesome. You know, and it isn't easy. I mean, believe me, it isn't easy and it is something, you know, I think people make commitments to do certain things. I mean, you know, for me, what started me with organic products is I used cloth diapers because when I really looked at it, I was like, you know, how am I going to teach my kids about the environment? Well, I'm making how many years of a landfill? And that's the thing. None of my friends used cloth diapers. They looked at me like I was insane. You know, on the other side, my kids were out of diapers when they were 2, and their kids were wearing pull-ups at 4. Because diapers aren't designed for your kids to get out of them early. Whereas cloth diapers, your kid goes to the bathroom, they know. They're like, hey, get this off me. You know? And so I think that, you know, real, but that's true. You know, especially yeah. They're, you know, the people that are designing these products design them very brilliantly in the sense that it keeps your kids in there longer. Unless you as a parent really make that commitment that, you know, okay, no diapers. You know, which isn't easy. You know, having potty trained 3 kids, you know, I mean, it was just like, but like I said, it's very different. And yet when I went away on vacation, if I was staying with somebody, I used disposable diapers because I wasn't taking stuff with me on vacation. You know, so I think sometimes people can go a little, you go a little crazier with it where, you know, and then it pigeonholes you somewhere. You've got to be flexible. The same thing with your business. There we go. There's that balance between trying to do something, but then being flexible enough to realize it's not always going to happen. and being okay with it.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, you mentioned that. I was just going to say that because we used cloth diapers too. We cloth diapered all three of our children. But then traveling sometimes, you know, if you're traveling in a place or, you know, to another country and you don't have access to a washing machine, carrying around soiled diapers is just not practical. So, you know, we've used disposable diapers, and fortunately in our case, we were able to get some of the newer ones that have come on the market that are eco-friendly. But, you know, before they were available, you would have had to use any disposable diaper. And, you know, depending on the cost, you may have to use them anyway. But, yeah, you're right. It's all about the flexibility, and you don't have to, you know, be completely stressed out because, you know, one of the options is not green, you know, especially as a mom, because that's kind of hard.
Oh, it is. And, you know, it's funny because when my kids were little, my oldest is 20, just turned 26 on the 12th of April, flipping me out. I mean, all my kids are in their 20s. I'm still 17 in my soul. I'm the last teenager left in the family. I don't know what happened. But they were just coming out with the first kind of diaper that was made from recycled material. They were awful.
Mm-hmm.
They were ridiculously expensive. I mean, just crazy expensive. And I was like, you know what? That's where I was like, hey, I gave it a shot. I gave them a shot. And they were terrible. They were, I should have just left my kid bare bottom. It would have been even easier. So I was like, well, okay, you know, so we'll just have to go with, you know, whatever. But you do. And let's face it, that's, you know, flexibility, I think, is probably one of the best characteristics that a mom and a mompreneur and any kind of business owner with a family has to have. Because if you are inflexible, then you just can't break.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, that's what it boils down to. It's like, you will break. And none of us want that to happen. So speaking of breaks,
right,
we're going to take one for a commercial. Ha ha, how's that for a segue?
Great.
For those of you tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio. And we are going to hear from one of our sponsors today, Ms. Kemya over at Cisco Marketing. So take a listen.
Hi, this is Ms. Kemya, mompreneur and proud sponsor of Word of Mom Radio. I'm a marketing strategist and social media manager at Cisco Marketing, spelled P-H-I-S-C-O. Cisco Marketing is a marketing consulting firm, and we facilitate the growth of small businesses through conventional standard marketing techniques merged with today's latest social media tactics. We provide branding, social media management, event, and content marketing for businesses in search of real, practical-based solutions and ready to manifest exponential growth. If you're lost in a digital space, Cisco Marketing will lead you through the social media terrain with a strategy to build engagement and drive results. For more information on our services, please visit ciscomarketing.com. Here you will find a blog chock full of do-it-yourself information on all things related to marketing, social media, and the business of being an entrepreneur. Revitalize your marketing strategy and remain head over heels in love with your business. Stop by and say hello at ciscomarketing.com.
I love that her tagline is, fall back in love with your business. I do. So make sure you visit Ms. Kemya. You can meet all of our mompreneur sponsors in our mompreneur market space at wordofmomradio.com/MMM/. And for you busy mompreneur travelers, take a look at our special offer from Safety First Bags, because you need to travel and you need your laptop when you do, but do you really want to remove it at every airport checkpoint? I know I don't. And Safety First Bags checkpoint-friendly laptop bags and backpacks meet all federal TSA guidelines, which means that jet-setting mompreneurs and busy travelers don't have to remove their laptops at airport checkpoints. So you can visit wordofmomradio.com/offer/ for a special price and free shipping. So get them while the offer is still open. And to all of our mompreneur sponsors, we so appreciate you being here with us through the growth and everything that is happening here on Word of Mom Radio. And we are back with Kemi Ingram. And we've been talking about the Moms and Brands Twitter parties and her social enterprises that she is championing and everything about cause marketing, and I want to kind of shift gears again. Because on top of everything else that you do, Kemi, you homeschool, which I love. We're actually going to start doing a homeschool hangout on Wednesdays once a month, and I would love if you would hop in and be one of the contributors. Because more and more people are homeschooling and so many questions about it. So talk to us and share with us what's new with your family and homeschooling.
Well, we now have a third grader, a first grader, and a little preschooler. And I'm still having fun, thank God. You know, when we started homeschooling, it's just something that evolved kind of naturally. We did home preschooling and just sort of continued on. And one of the goals when we started was to incorporate lots of travel into the educational process. So we've been doing quite a bit of road schooling, and it's been really, really fun visiting the museums and, you know, touring different historical sites and going to science museum exhibits and doing lots of hands-on stuff in addition to our curriculum, which thankfully we can pack up and take with us for all of the book work. But one of the things that we're looking to do now is to incorporate more volunteer service into our travel. So I've been looking at some of the things that were compiled by road schoolers, different volunteer opportunities across the country, and there are some abroad as well, that we can be involved in as a family when we travel, just to go on some of our stops and volunteer some time, which I think would be wonderful. When we were doing Mambo TV, that's kind of what we did with our little playdate episodes. We would go and visit a project and, you know, turn our playdate into a playdate with a purpose. So we're going to do some more of that and incorporate that into our road schooling. So you may see things pop up from our adventures. So I'm looking forward to that.
That is so cool. You know, Debbie Dutton and Alyssa Sunga, who are the founders of ifnotyouwho.org. They're one of our Mompreneur sponsors, and they just started a productive play show on Wednesdays. Wednesdays, we're starting to have a rotating platform. So once a month, different shows will rotate in. And they did their first show the other day, and it was colors. You know, how to productively play, teaching your child colors. And they had some of the most fun activities, like going into their, having them go into their drawers to find a red shirt, a blue shirt, a green shirt, you know, and just really very simple things, and that's what their website is. It's 300 activities that are free. It's a free website, and it basically has whole products, and it's a 10 to 15-minute activity that you can do with your child, whether it's a parent or a play, you know, sibling, whatever. So I love things like this. I really, truly do, and I love the road schoolers that are out there. Believe me, if I were having children now, they would completely be homeschooled. And when my kids were in school, I would usually, you know, those arbitrary half days that they would have at school because of a teacher conference or whatever, twice a year, I would pick one of those and just have to call everyone in sick. And everybody woke up with a cough. And we lived in New York, and we would go down to Manhattan, and we would wind up at the Museum of Natural History or the Art Museum or the Guggenheim, you know, or the Bronx Zoo or the Brooklyn Aquarium. I loved doing that. Spring break, that was our spring break. We would drive down to D.C. because Mommy's a museum hound. And, I mean, I had my daughter, by the time she was four, she could take you through the Museum of Natural History like a tour guide. It was hilarious. Yeah, you know, she could take every floor. That was her favorite place to go, was the Museum of Natural History. And it's remarkable because, you know, as an adult, it's like, you know, I had adults roll their eyes. How many times did you take them to the Museum of Natural History? And I probably took my kids 30 times if I took them once. Every single time we went, they were at a different point in their life. We would concentrate on a different area in the museum,
And that we didn't, you know, I mean, we would walk the whole museum, but we would focus our energies on certain things. As they got older, they were able to use the interactive computer things that started happening when my kids were growing up and whatnot. So I love that you do that. I love that you incorporate the traveling with that. What's your most favorite place that you've been to so far with them?
Oh, my gosh, Dory, that's hard. there's so many places. But we really have had a good time in Williamsburg, Virginia. I will say that. That's a place that we kind of keep going back to because the kids love Colonial Williamsburg and they love, Jamestown, the Jamestown settlement. So we've had a lot of fun there, and I think we'll be heading back in the near future. I was looking at some of our old stuff, just, you know, the old Mambo TV stuff, and looking at things like the little playdate we did in Murfreesboro, Tennessee with Mandy Rae Jones for Operation Christmas Child, little kids getting together to fill the shoeboxes to send off, you know, for Christmas. Those are, you know, that's another little fun, you know, service activity. And, you know, once a month through our church, the kids, there's a homeless feeding that happens, and it's at a place where their family's there. And I'm really amazed at how not just my children, but the other children who come too are really, really excited. They look forward to going and serving the meal once a month. They, you know, even get kids as young as two can put little rolls on the plates of the residents, and then afterwards there's a play structure there, so all the kids just go out and play together, the kids who are serving and the kids who are residents. So I really, really love that, and I look forward to being able to have more experiences like places outside of our local area, and those are the sorts of opportunities that I'm looking for now, where, you know, the kids can go and they can serve, whether that's packing boxes at a food distribution place, something that, you know, that kids can do. And then we'll talk about those and we'll post those things on Moms and Brands as under a new sort of like cause and opportunity label, so that other families, if they set out on an adventure, maybe they may want to involve their families in service projects like that too.
You know, I have to tell you, I'm literally like wiping tears. I really am. I'm so proud of you. I really am. What a good mom, and what a wonderful example you are leading to your children to help them be in service. You know, it is such an important gift that we can give to our kids for them to give back to their community, to their world, you know, in their own little way, and it really starts in a high chair. It's very hard to teach a teenager to start giving back when you didn't teach them as a toddler. You know? And
well,
I really am.
Well, I think that, you know, by playing together, because, that, you know, for my children, what I want is for them not to really see so much of a distinction. And I think that, you know, after the homeless feeding, playing together, we're all, you know, it's sort of like you just see them, we're all kids here. It's not that, you know, I came and I served you and, you know, you're here and I'm there, but they're all together. I just happened to be on the side putting the food on your plate and you ate it and now we're going to go play. So, you know, this is something I want them to take with them. You know, we're all who we are, and we're all loved by God, and that's that.
Well, you know, it's so funny. My Robbie, I think of him when he was little, and he was in second grade. And he came home one day, and he's like, why do they call black people black? And I was like, huh? He goes, their skin's brown. I don't understand. My friend Hinton's skin is brown, and how come they call us white? We're kind of peach. You know?
I
was like, you know, I said, I don't get it. I don't know, Robbie. And he was like, I don't understand why people want to give people colors. Why don't they just enjoy their name? And I was like, that's right. You just can enjoy their name. You know? But because kids are, you know, kids are so open. They're just
they are.
Open to everything we want to teach them. And as parents, we are their first model. That's why I'm telling, that's why I'm saying I'm so proud of you, because it's so important to instill that in our kids. You know, my kids' whole life, you know, when they got to high school and my son Dan came home one day because a friend of his really had nowhere to live. And he was like, you know, Mom, is it okay if he stays on my couch? He was like, I'll share my food with him and things like that. And I was like, well, honey, there's plenty of food. And I said to him, I said, I'm so proud of you that you're, you know, offering your friend your couch in your room. And he was like, well, gee, Mom, I mean, you know, you always had people that were staying with us. And it was true. You know, friends came that didn't have somewhere to go for a day, a week, a month, a year, however long they needed a place to be. And at one point, all three of my kids had friends of theirs in their rooms for the school, for different parts of the school year, because I was the house that kids came to stay when they couldn't stay at home and things like that. And, you know, without even knowing it, you know, I had instilled that in my children. Because, again, they model what they see. And you know what? That was my mom. Now, my brothers always left. They're like, oh, you're really, Mom, the apple didn't fall far from Mom's tree when it came to me, you know? Like, we know how to send people. With all the homeschooling and things like that that you're doing, are you still blogging also?
It's funny. I have not blogged in a long time. It's been years since I blogged, but we've been working with bloggers. And so we have the Moms and Brand Ambassador Program so that we can get product samples in the hands of moms who do blog. But now, since we're sort of returning to, you know, some issues and doing more along the lines of the social media cause marketing, I think that some of the things that we'll be doing will require a blog post or two. So you may see some blogging on Moms and Brands, whether that's from me or some of our contributing Moms and Brands ambassadors in the form of product reviews or visits to these volunteer locations, just so that we can spread the word and people can see what you know, opportunities are available. So after all these years, I may be doing a little bit of blogging in 2014.
It's amazing how you can slip in and out of that, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been, but, you know, it's fun because I don't blog as much as I used to. Every once in a while, I was watching TV and there's this commercial about what a poor motivational speaker Pinocchio would be. And he's there, and he's standing there, and he's like, you know, you have potential, and all of a sudden his nose starts to grow. And I wrote a blog about it because I was like, how sad that Pinocchio, that's why he's not a real boy, because you can't believe, when you look at anybody, I don't care who it is, everyone has potential. And what made me really upset is the guy that he's pointing at feels like garbage about himself, and I'm like, wow, how awful is it that this guy feels awful just because Pinocchio doesn't believe his own words, because he wasn't lying, he was speaking the truth. You have potential, you have to, and it did, I'm like, I have to write a blog about this. I really took umbrage to that, and I was like, see, when I look at somebody, I can say to them, you have potential and truly mean it, which is why I still have a button man. You know? It's amazing the things that all of a sudden make you want to pick up that pen or, you know, type that. I actually wrote it down first, and I never do that. I usually will sit down and just type something out. But I was in my room, and I just grabbed a pad of pen because it just, this is what came to my head, you know. But it is. It's amazing what makes you go, I think I may know something about that. Has there been something for you in your head that you're like, I'm going to have to write about this to really clarify it for me and them?
Yeah. And, you know, for me being on Twitter doesn't really allow that sort of thing. That's not really, you know, Twitter's 140 characters or less. So to really talk about some of these things, I have to kind of put them in a forum that they can be read. So that looks like it's shaping up into blog posting.
So with the mommies that you are meeting, how do you become a contributor to the moms and brands?
There is a form on our, there's a link on our webpage at momsandbrands.com, and it says Moms and Brand Ambassador, and you just fill out that form, and we'll receive it and review it, and that's how you become a contributor to Moms and Brands.
And that's momsandbrands.com, you said?
Yes.
Okay, come on, moms, get out there. Because lots of you have lots to share, you know? And so as your kids are getting older and you're finding more and more of these products that make life easier, things that make life easier, how much contribution do your kids make in with their opinion to things?
Oh, gosh. They have a lot of they have opinions. And they voice them, so they're, you know, they kind of review things, and they enjoy going to Expo West and Expo East and some of the trade shows, and just even if it's a look on their faces or a comment, they will let me know if it's a product that they would actually like or not like. And there are brands that, you know, forgive me, but I can't promote them because the kids, they just did not like it at all. They didn't like the product, and I cannot promote a product to anyone that I wouldn't like or that my kids wouldn't like and say, here, buy this for your kids. So they do help me.
Have they ever not liked something that you thought was really cool and then you were like, oh, darn.
Well, usually it's something that I end up not liking myself. There's a product that will remain nameless, but, you know, we were approached several times to see if we could take them on as a client, and they tasted it. You know, they thought, okay, well, we'll taste it this time. It's, you know, kind of like a kid's drink. They said, oh, gosh. Mom, this does not taste good at all. And so the next year they had some kind of like a new and improved formula. Tasted again, like, ugh, that does not taste good at all. So, you know, and I tasted it and I said, right, nope, it's not good. So we could not put it on. We couldn't even give it out, you know, promote it through Moms and Brands Ambassadors for reviews. If it's, you know, we just couldn't take it on. So we still try to stay true to just only promoting things that I would actually, you know, have for our family that either I would enjoy or my kids would enjoy. But if we don't like it, we can't promote it.
You know what? I totally know the feeling because when I was designing these bags, I mean, my kids, their input was critical. And when the first round came in, the first four bags, they were like, they're great, but we're not carrying a clear bag until somebody tells us we have to. And I was like, okay, I understand. You know, then I did one in purple. I did a messenger bag in purple. My daughter's like, ooh, I like that. Can I have that?
Ooh,
I mean, she's that second grade all the way to fifth grade. Then we came out with our sports line. And whenever we had new samples come in, I would call them in. And we pulled out, I had my gym bag, my duffel bag, and my baseball bag. Oh, my son was like, now that's a cool bag. I'll take that. My oldest one took the duffel bag. My next one took the gym bag. And my daughter had the baseball bag. And she used that baseball bag for, I don't know, four seasons until she outgrew it. Because she was a catcher, and her gear was too much, so she had to get a bigger bag. But it never broke. She was like, these bags, well, you know, and so it was really funny. That's when I knew I was a hit, when my kids wanted to stop using my product. I was like, okay, I'm onto something here.
Right.
So, all right, but it is. It's so much, it's amazing how your children influence what you do, what you buy, what you gravitate towards, and vice versa. So back to the moms and brands. You know, you were talking about Twitter chats and panels, but when you were, again, I was taking notes the last time because I wanted to ask you more about them because we had such a short amount of time to speak when you came back for the anniversary show. Why don't you share a little more about those?
Well, you know, a few years ago when we were first starting our Twitter parties, actually some of our very first Twitter parties, they weren't real parties, they were chats. So we would bring together a panel of experts around a specific issue, and then we'd have a brand sponsor the chat. So we're going to do some more of that. We've got some different ideas lined up, so we'll bring together experts to actually contribute, because for the Twitter parties that we've been doing recently, they are actual parties. So I feature the brand and the products, and people talk about the brand or the product, but for the chat, it will be around a specific cause, usually an issue pertaining to women and children or families. And we'll talk about it, and then our sponsoring brand will, you know, provide some sort of something for the party. But what I like is that the development of Twitter parties has provided, you know, it's a steady revenue stream for us to do some of the work that is not so, it's more, you know, kind of a labor of love, if you will. But so our Twitter parties are really what have helped to provide the funds to be able to branch out and go back to our roots of doing more of the, you know, the cause marketing. So I'm thankful for that and for all of the sponsoring brands who have allowed us to represent them as clients. And it's because of that that we're able to do some of these other things now. So I'm grateful.
So how does somebody go about becoming one of those brands that you promote?
We have a, you know, a large database of over 2,000 that has been cultivated organically over the years from different trade shows that we've visited, and we send out regular updates about our upcoming events and the costs associated with participating, and they submit their products for review. And if it's something that we feel that we can promote or that fits with either a themed party, because we offer two different options. We have themed parties, which bring together different co-sponsors around a theme. So we have our 4th of July party coming up, our summer kickoff party. But we also have brands who have exclusive events. So they hire us to do exclusive Twitter parties, and it's focused all around that particular brand. Or if they're launching a product, they'll hire us to have an event, an online event around that. So some people come from just, you know, our regular marketing and updates to our database, and other brands that may be following us on Twitter, or they see the hashtag pop up, contact us if we can host a party for them. And so that's kind of how we get our clients. The causes and the nonprofits, those are usually things that I've sort of seeked out or have come across my radar and or sought out, sorry, and have come across my radar, and I thought they would be interesting and you know, just sort of started promoting those on my own.
That is good for you. Good for you. As we are, believe it or not, it's amazing how fast an hour goes. Let everyone know how they get in touch with you, Kemi.
You can get in touch with me at momsandbrands.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, and that's Moms and Brands, the Twitter handle Moms and Brands, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, and that is Kemi Ingram, K-E-M-I-I-N-G-R-A-M.
You're no longer Kemi Ingram on Twitter?
No, I'm Moms and Brands.
Way back. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I was promoting you out. And that's me falling down on it, because I have been so busy traveling, you know, and not having, I'm going to have to go back in and do a whole bunch of other tweets to tweet out the archive of this. But that's okay. I was hashtagging Moms and Brands all over the place. So, exactly. As long as that hashtag's out there, Belle will find us. So, Kemi, thank you so much. I'm so glad you came back to share. I'm so proud of the work that you are doing, and just love that this social media journey that we've both been on have led us to each other so many different times. And I have May 10th on my schedule, so I'm going to see if I can get to that Twitter party and we've been celebrating with some mothers out there. And again, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate it. It was lovely.
Thank you so much for having me, Dori. It's a privilege to be back.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And for all of you tuning in, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you on Tuesday for Managing Mompreneur Mayhem with Sina Block. And until then, this is Dori DiCarlo here on Word of Mom Radio saying thanks so much for tuning in and go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.